In the name of Christ of Bethlehem, dearly beloved of God, how long is this going to take? That's a question children ask if there are presents to open under the tree. And teenagers, if it feels like the parents are talking too long at church again and they'd really, really like the keys. And politicians with an agenda. And business tycoons that have a bottom line. It's all about how long is this going to take? Because we can never have enough time-saving devices to save us more time, right? How long is this going to take is not a question asked by the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem that night. They were used to long nights with skittish, stinky sheep that needed the voice of the shepherd in the field, lest some predator spook the flock or stampede them or a storm come up and they all be scattered. The shepherds were there. But they weren't asking how long. Except on one question, which was on the hearts of all God's people in the promised land at the time. How long before the Messiah comes, the promised one? Their land was occupied. Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus, iron fist from Rome. And they wanted out. And even Jesus' disciples were quite convinced that the job of the Messiah when he finally came would be to free them from the hated Roman oppressors. Oh, how nearsighted and earthbound our thinking is. What's our problem, really? Is it really any different today than it was back then? Let me just illustrate, without embarrassing myself. You see them all over the place, a nice, bright, beautiful bow. Some are big enough and just the right color for one company to use it every time this year, that great sales event, you know? Or is it multiple companies now? Oh yeah, if somebody really loves you, that'll be a car with a bow. Yeah, I see. I see some young heads nodding to some older ones, yes. And oh, maybe the dream house, the one that everybody works for, the forever house. The one that strangely so many finally get and lose because the problem remains. Is it really any different in the cities today as it was back then, the busy, busy cities? Men who think they're God's gift to women? Women thinking they're God's gift to men? Take your pick. The problem is we're all wrapped up in ourselves. Can't help it. You may know better. Anybody that knows the Lord Jesus has ever knelt at that Bethlehem manger, you know better. I know better. And I can't stop myself. How long is this going to take? Till I get what I want. Till I get my way. Till finally everybody else wises up and just does what I want. See, the big cities back then in the countryside too, they were all filled with people that had their own opinions. When Jesus' promises and his threats and his warnings finally came true on Jerusalem, AD 70, and the Romans finally destroyed that city and Herod's great temple, the fighting among the Jews trying to hold off the Romans was unbelievable. There was always infighting because it was always about me. Accept. Accept that night. The shepherds didn't have time to ask how long. Because all of a sudden, you know, what would shake up a stout-hearted soldier, or any of us who maybe get just a little bit startled by a leaf in the street at night or a clap of thunder. How would you react if suddenly the sky filled with light? Terrified? Back to that moment in the garden after the rebellion when God first came looking, not waiting, but looking to bring salvation. Adam, where are you? Basically, Lord, if you hadn't been walking in the garden and talking to me, I wouldn't have had a problem. And if you hadn't given me this woman, see, it's me. All of a sudden, it's all about me. And the woman, oh, she can't take responsibility either. It was the serpent. But God promised. And he always knows what he means, even if we don't. And he never goes back on his word, and he keeps on sending the prophets to tell us over and over again, don't forget. Don't forget, the Messiah will come and the Lord will lay on him the iniquity of us all. The sacrifice of the selfless Son of God was about to be announced, and that's why the angel used those words that are used throughout the Bible to take away that fear, those first human recorded words after the rebellion, I was afraid. And the angel said to Zechariah and to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds, literally, stop being afraid. And the light is shining in the darkness tonight too, and that's a command from God, my dear friends. Stop being afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. If you hear the story a million times in your life and sung by beautiful voices over and over again, and you don't realize, this is for you. You've lost everything. It's all for you. And if you were the only one who was lost, this is how great God's love is. He would have sent Jesus just for you. Because you get 100% of God's love without sparing. And this good news is meant to take your fear away, to calm your worries, to cleanse away the guilt, and to give you that peace that truly surpasses all understanding. It's right there in the manger. Why a baby? So you wouldn't run away. Who can run from a baby? Don't you want to just take that little one up in your arms and hold him close to your heart? And isn't that the point? Well, those angelic beings that were created by God to serve those who would inherit salvation, they weren't going to ask how long will this take either. They couldn't wait anymore. They'd been watching for centuries as human beings messed up over and over again because we keep thinking it's all about me. Oh no. They burst into song, that army of angels, that multitude praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward mankind. God's glory is to love sinners. God's glory is to save the way he wants to save. And you know well that in our culture, in our society that denies the very existence of God and only seems to remember him when they want to curse his name or criticize what he's doing or not doing, he's still there. And he can save the way he wants to. Save through his son, as so he did. And so we give glory. It doesn't come to the great King Herod in Jerusalem, because you can see what he does when he gets the news. It doesn't come to the priests, because they tell Herod it's Bethlehem, and they still don't go to Bethlehem to see the king. It comes to the lowliest of the low. It comes to those with humble hearts, to those who wait and kneel and worship him who has loved you with an everlasting love. Hungry hearts want to hear more about God's eternal love, more consolation for the Spirit. But that will have to wait for Christmas morning and the day after tomorrow, our Sunday worship. For now, for the least to the highest, glory to God, now and forever. Amen.